And then we have.
Good. We have one.
Ready for roll call?
Yeah.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Tran?
Present.
Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Whitaker?
Here.
Director Sheldon?
See him online.
Director Meswa? Director Meeks? Director Nguyen? Director Rowe?
Here.
Director Green?
Hello?
Did you have a class?
Fantastic. And I fail to say this is a meeting of the communications. It's an amazing meeting. Are there any items we see too late to be agendized?
Fair enough.
Fantastic. Now's the time for visitor participation. If anyone from the public would like to address the board at this time. Do we have any people who would like to address us online?
I see your hands.
Perfect. And there's none in the boardroom. So that'll move us to the consent calendar, which consists of item number one, which is a meeting notes, the previous meeting. What is the pleasure of the board?
Move in. I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. And
roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Sheldon? Director Rowe?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, that brings us to item two, which is the state legislative update.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. We're going to start off with Jason Gonzalez this morning.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jason Gonzalez. I have just one bill to highlight. It's AB 1072 by Assembly Member Poppy Wicks. The bill seeks to implement our regeneration efficiency program requiring urban and wholesale to
the sound isn't working, Jason.
Jason, you're just going like the low and high. I don't know if you have to get closer to the
Let me see. Is that better?
Yes, much better. Better.
My apologies. I'll start over. That's the only way to shut me up is have the sound turn off. But yeah, thank you again for the opportunity. And AB 1072 seeks to require urban wholesale and water suppliers to offer technical assistance and energy efficiency, water conservation programs and devices and climate resilient landscaping. And the focus of the bill is for 40% of the technical assistance and programs and funding to go towards low income residential customers, disadvantaged communities. The bill's pending in the Appropriations Committee. I would note that all bills in appropriations have to be out of appropriations by May 19th. And then the House of Origin deadline is June 2nd. And not to bore you with deadlines, but then the legislature's on summer recess, July 14th through August 14th, and final adjournment is September 14th. So all those dates just simply state that the bill is in the first house. It has to get out of the assembly by June 2nd. It's early in the process. The recommendation on the bill is to watch the bill and support AQUA's oppose unless amended or support AQUA's efforts surrounding potential Prop 218 concerns as it relates to funding going specific to one sector of the customers. So the bill's pending in appropriations. The recommendation is a watch position, and I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Question.
So yes, question.
So I just wanted to know, this bill has so many problems. We didn't suggest any strong position because CMUA and AQUA are working on, they have work groups to do to come up with amendments, and we don't have those done yet. They're taking different approaches, but this bill probably has a lot of Prop 218 issues. It's just a real mess. So we're just going to work with, that we recommended to work with their work groups to amend the bill.
So it seems to me that this bill is really geared more towards cities, right?
It actually it's also
urban water suppliers Should be RDC retail, maybe?
It says wholesale and water supplier, so it affects us. Or
but I know that for us, since we only have 19 customers, it's probably not going to be a big deal. But I would think this would create a huge financial burden on cities to create these programs. And I don't see the funding provided.
It's a big can of worms.
So you guys still want to be on a watch or you want to close it?
We can do a post. We just didn't have specific amendments to come to you with because the organizations are still developing them. So we just want to make you aware of this. And yeah, you want to take a post with amended position.
Sure, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
What's the fiscal impact on this bill? Is there a fiscal analysis done yet, Jason?
The fiscal analysis is not done thus far. It will be done in the Appropriations Committee. The bill is not set for appropriations, but I would suspect the potential costs will be rather significant to the chair's points, particularly on the local agency side, the cities. And there's also a provision in the bill that says you're ineligible for state water funding if you don't comply with this legislation. So that could also be a significant cost or financial hit.
Question, if I may. Have any cities sent out letters in opposition or expressing their opposition on this bill in particular?
I have, as you know, a fairly large base of client cities, 50 plus, and none of them have weighed in. Most are following the lead of Aqua. I think if Aqua's oppose becomes stronger, I would expect local agencies and cities will follow.
Thank you.
So,
you want to change to post once again?
Well, I think I'm going to listen to what our experts are saying in terms of how we should play this.
I think it's still early. We still have plenty of time. Bills like this may die in appropriations because of the fiscal aspect of the bill. So I think we can still hold our breath a little bit longer because we have what, until June? First or second week of June?
May.
Or to get this out in appropriations or out on the floor.
House of Origin deadline, Mr. Tran and Director Tran, is June 2nd. And I think, and part of the recommendation of supporting Aqua's oppose unless amended is they're the only opponent to the legislation at this time. And there's so many, as Alicia noted, there's so many moving parts. It's not fully cooked yet. We're not entirely sure what we may or may not be opposing. And I think appropriations will give us a good indication of that based on the fiscal analysis.
Do you know when that will be scheduled for hearings for the bill?
It has not been set thus far, but it has to be out of appropriations by May 19th. It'll likely go to suspense, as you know.
Right. So we will have another opportunity, I would think, to revisit this bill and then take a firmer position.
Okay.
If needed.
Yep.
With more opposition, get more ammunition to appropriations to look a little deeper into this.
There's not any opposition that I'm aware of beyond Aqua at this point, but to answer the question, appropriations, I expect we'll do a deep dive again on the fiscal impacts.
CMUA also has a work group on this, and they're working on extensive amendments as well.
Would it be helpful, though, for us to take an oppose unless amended rather than watch? Watch is pretty milquetoast than no. I mean,
we don't know what amendments we're seeing.
But we're going to go along with what Aqua and CAMU.
What are they saying? Are they watching and making amendments or are they opposing?
They're not working at amendments now.
They're opposed unless amended. I think we were just a little to your point, Chair Phillip, though. We were a little apprehensive not having amendments to let the committee know what the amendments would be. But if we're okay with aligning ourselves with Aqua and what they're doing, then
good consensus.
Yeah.
And I can bring back, Aqua hasn't developed their amendments yet, but once they do, I can email the committee that Aqua needs.
Well, they really do have the companies that they're working out.
They are, they're just smart.
And maybe
that's a good offer.
I would certainly move that we would take that position.
Well, most of us.
Okay, that sounds like a better position.
Do we need a vote on
it? Yeah, we'll probably need a vote. Any other discussion on the other bill, the zero emission vehicle bill? Think about that.
They said Iker was going to discuss that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we'll try to make it quick for you, directors. Good afternoon. So this bill relates to the Air Resources Board's Advanced Clean Fleets Regulation. I think you're most likely all aware of it, but this is CARB's rule to require the turnover of the entire medium and heavy duty vehicle fleet by 2045 and transition to zero electric vehicles. It's been really controversial. It's challenging across the spectrum for people to comply with. Utilities have had a unique issue because, as you all know, they operate such complex and specialized equipment that there are not going to be commercially available alternatives that are not internal combustion engine powered for a long time. So the Municipal Utilities Association and a number of other associations and individual utilities have spent the last year and a half trying to reason with the Air Resources Board. They've made some progress, but the exemptions and the regulation are still not sufficient. So AB 1594 is aimed directly at addressing that issue. And to make it extremely simple, I mean, the bill itself is simple. It essentially says CARB, when you adopt this regulation, you have to ensure that, you know, the vehicles can support a utility's ability to maintain reliable water and electric service. It gets into slightly more detail than that. I'll spare you from that, but you know, your staff's recommendation is a support position. That certainly seems consistent with the conversations we've had you all have over the years, but we're happy to answer any questions that you have about the bill. Lastly, I'd say just in terms of where it's at, it passed unanimously on consent out of the Assembly Transportation Committee. There is no opposition to the bill. And just like AB 1072, which you just discussed, it is in the Appropriations Committee and will likely be on suspense there until May 19th.
Okay.
Does this bill address what happens in emergencies with vehicles that can't get to electricity?
If yeah. They
have change yeah. to electric vehicles.
Yes, and I apologize for cutting you off there, Director Green. There's a little bit of a lag in Zoom, but yes, I mean, that is one of the things that CARB would have to accommodate, which is a vehicle's ability to respond to disasters in an emergency capacity and provide mutual aid assistance statewide and nationwide.
But okay,
so then the recommended actions would be to support AB 1594 and to take a opposed unless amended position on AB 1072. I'll make a motion to that effect.
I'll say.
Great. Can we call the roll?
Director Bellido?
Yes.
Director Tran?
No.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Great, thank you. That brings us to the federal legislative update.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Saperstein.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Great.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I apologize if you're hearing background noise. I'm up on the Hill because I had a meeting at 4 o'clock with Representative Calvert's office on, of all things, the Refuge Act. But let me get to the issues of the day for you. Uncharacteristically good news. On the appropriations front, they announced that we are going to have markups in June, July in the House, which is really good news because we were questioning whether or not they even get to markups on spending bills because of the debt ceiling increase debate. That means that Representative Kim's $8 million request for PFAS cleanup will be taken up by the Interior and Environment Appropriations Subcommittee sometime in June, or shortly after July 4th recess, and then full committee markups will happen shortly thereafter. So what it tells us that the House will move forward in getting spending bills to the House floor before they leave in August. That's really good news. I would just parenthetically comment that 85% of the House members asked for congressionally directed spending assistance, earmarks, which suggests again that earmarks will make it through the system, at least on the House side and in the Senate. And then it really comes down to whether they cut final deals on the overall budget in, say, November, December timeframe. So, Chair Bildo, that's where we are right now on appropriations. The really important information I want to pass on, and I think you may have heard some of this already last night, so I apologize, but we now have PFAS liability exemption legislation in the United States Senate, introduced by Cynthia Lummis and seven other Republican members in the Senate. Most of them are on the Committee on Environment and Park Works as jurisdiction over the issue. The legislation, two things I want to emphasize. First of all, it provides Loctite perfect protection for water agencies. The second thing I want to mention is that the language that is in the essence of the Lummis bill is the language that we worked on behalf of the water district months ago. There were some refinements made to it. But the good news is that because of what the OCWB board of directors asked to be done, we set the stage. We got the language with the other water agency associations to weigh in. And now we have legislation pending in the Senate. The reason that we're excited about this is not so much that this bill is going to see the light of day when the Senate committee takes up PFAS legislation in the next couple of months, but rather Chairman of the committee, Tom Carper from Delaware, and ranking Republican of the committee, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, reportedly yesterday acknowledged that they are working on PFAS liability exemption for water agencies and other interests like solid waste as part of a comprehensive bipartisan package of legislation that the committee will put together. So they're moving forward. And I think the battle now goes to the particulars of liability exemption, as opposed to, are we going to have a liability exemption provision in any kind of Senate PFAS legislation? So, Chair Bildo, I'm going to stop there and I'll answer any questions if you like.
Okay, anyone have any questions? Yes.
Should we write a support letter at this point, Eric?
Oh, good question, Alicia. Yeah, I think so. Since this just happened last night, I will write up a summary of the bill. It's pretty straightforward, like I said. Basically, as long as you comply with your Safe Drinking Water Act mandate and whatever else might apply, you have no liability under FERCLA. Yes, I can write up a summary and get you a draft letter if you like.
Good suggestion.
Right. Eric, you mentioned that Representative Young Kim's earmark request for Orange County $8 million is for PFAS. It's actually not just PFAS, but it's a number of other things, isn't it?
I thought it was dedicated towards the PFAS cleanup, but I could be wrong.
We have one of the projects that she's submitting.
Yeah, I think there's an $8 million request, of which we may have like $4 or $5 million.
I think we have $5 million.
Yeah,
request with her and $6 million with Congressman Britt.
Oh, you do? Good. Yeah. Good. But kind of related to that, I did hear a mention of this Kim's request, including a mobile VROC facility. And yeah. I'm going, that's up. They're doing that for ODOC.
I don't know whether that's one of the projects she's going
to. I think there's still some question about what to do with that. Mobile facility, yes or not? Yeah, it was talking about last year. Right, for $1 million bucks. All right, never
mind. Okay.
Eric, you had mentioned that the bill was going to a Senate committee. What committee was that?
I apologize. I didn't say Yeah, no, I didn't say it. I apologize. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, Mike. So that is the key committee with jurisdiction over PFAS.
So should we write a letter to Senator Padilla asking his support for that bill?
Yeah, I would say, given the fact that, yes, but qualified by this, I'd probably draft it in a way that says we understand that Chairman Carper and Ranking Member Capito are working on PFAS legislation and are going to address liability exemption, and we would hope that you would support that and by reference Senator Lummis's recent bill, something like that, because Lummis's bill ultimately will be not the bill they act on, but the provisions will be acted on as part of a larger Senate bill. So I'd want to cover all bases, but yes, Mike.
And Director Sheldon, I see you have your hand up. Did you want to address us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could ask, is the legislation for the support for the exemption, or is that exemption part of a larger PFAS statute or bill? Is the exemption a standalone action, or is it part of the bigger PFAS Action Act?
So the legislation right now is standalone legislation. And let me just state there are four other pieces of standalone legislation emphasizing liability protections for solid waste and things like that. So Director Sheldon, the legislation is standalone, but then go to the committee and will be in some form rolled into a larger PFAS bill.
Can we support the support the exemption and oppose the larger bill?
We haven't seen the larger bill yet. Let me go out on a limb and suggest that the larger bill is likely to essentially promote funding for PFAS cleanups and funding for technology demonstrations and funding for PFAS research. So it may not be an adverse bill overall for our interest. So I would say first of all, we got to see what the bill says. And to that end, we fully expect that there's going to be Senate hearings on any kind of PFAS legislation that's developed according to Chairman Carper.
So the larger bill would not be codifying the current EPA action?
Oh, absolutely not. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
Would there be any de facto codification since you're funding the EPA action?
I think you could have, yeah, you could probably see some kind of legislative language encouraging EPA to use the best science and things of that sort.
Okay, because I'm finding even from some additional analysis that the EPA proposed rulemaking combines highly affected populations that have been the subject of studies with the general population that is not, and combining them together really, really when they shouldn't be.
So this gets into a much deeper conversation, but what you have just identified is one of the reasons there is this real concern in the Senate right now of how EPA is proceeding. In other words, the science doesn't justify where they're headed. So as far as how the legislation will address that, it will probably come down to a demand or some kind of statutory language that says EPA is to develop policies and standards based on the best available science that is representative of the communities at risk, as opposed to picking, you know, cherry picking certain parts of communities.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you gonna ask?
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah. I noticed in the notes, it says Congressman Porter called for swift PFAS regulations and limitations to PFAS discharges. Is that about, and what is she?
There's a letter in the packet that Dustin gives a sign that are calling for action on discharge PFAS through water bodies. It's apparently at least not in regulation.
Right. That, what, Where is that going? What does she think she's doing?
Director Green, or President Green, you were breaking up.
I'm sorry.
Were you asking about Porter's position?
Porter's letter. Yeah, she signed on a letter, and what is her purpose in that?
Well, this is being recorded, so I'll be careful how I say it.
Okay.
I think there is an election in 2024. I don't doubt that Representative Porter is concerned about the health of the public at large. I think part of this is, you know, she's been consistently out there talking about these issues. So I'm not surprised by her signing the letter. And, you know, this is part of a larger debate on the science that's driving, PFAS standard setting.
They should realize that this is, we're doing everything we can, we're working, and just having more and more legislation or regulation isn't helping anybody.
I think that's true. I think that's part of the debate at this stage. So you have the two camps, if you will, those who are saying we really do need just to regulate and get this out of the chain of commerce and clean up the sites. And those who are saying, look, we're all for cleaning up PFAS, but the standards of cleanup, the levels of cleanup have to be consistent with the science. So I think that's where the debate is today.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, may I add that we have communicated with Representative Porter multiple times, asking her to work with the Orange County Water District on the PFAS issue. And to date, she has not. She has not supported our exemption efforts. In our meeting, she's acknowledged that what we're trying to do is stop the polluters from having an advantage in court, yet she's essentially sided with the polluters by refusing to support this exemption at this time. So I think we should communicate with her again. Perhaps it's the fourth or fifth time, and asking her to stay in contact with us as her constituents that are actively involved on this issue.
Okay.
Like Congressman Correa has been to our facility, has toured the groundwater replenishment system multiple times, has been working with the district, contacts the district, is available, easy to meet with. I think that's an example of a representative that's been very responsive and listening to the Orange County Water District.
I just wanted to add, I think General Manager Marcus's suggestion to reach out to Senator Padilla is very timely right now. We did obtain some of his mind share recently, and so we should follow that up. And I'm sure we do make routine reaches, but I think even to refer back to the GW firms and try to build steady communication.
Okay. There's no action required for this item. And well,
are we planning to go back to DC?
Yes. I was asked to just quickly comment on that. I think a visit with all that's going on between the appropriations process, what's going on with PFAS, standard settings at EPA. There's enough activities going on to arrange for a visit to DC, and particularly sort of seizing on the issue of Representative Porter's position on PFAS to see if we can get a discussion with her or her staff. That type of thing would be helpful. And as far as scheduling goes, I would say sometime in June or July. Particularly July timeframe, it may be advantageous. They're in session for most of that month, June. Towards the middle of the month might be workable also. But those are the schedules. I think it would be useful to have a visit back to DC.
Thanks.
Okay. So no further action in this item. So we'll move on to item number four. which is Gina Brea's final completion dedication ceremony update.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. I have a few slides to review. With the committee, most of you attended the event. It was hosted on April 14th. So we had about 350 people attend, 150 elected officials. We had 50 speakers, and then we had 90 volunteers from OCWP and OCSAN who helped support the execution of the event. We did gain 9 sponsors who helped us to support the event at $45,000. So we're working on reconciling the budget right now. Sandy's going to absorb a large portion of the event, which was in the Gina Gross final expansion for outreach. And then the remaining amount will be offset by the sponsorships and then split between OCWD and OCSAN. So we don't anticipate that amount will be more than $15,000 to split. Here are just some pictures of the event, some speakers. We did receive great media coverage. We had 5 outlets that were on site, which included ABC7, The Register, Orange Coast Magazine, the LA Times, and Spectrum. And then we took a look at all of the coverage combined through the different outlets. So we did have nearly 30 published stories that were featured in some news stories, and that was a total reach of more than 35 million. In addition to OCWD and OCSAN distributing a press release, we also had other partners like Water Reuse, the State Water Resources Control Board, and Moutier issue a press release. So here was some of the resulting media coverage, the Register, some of the media stories that were on site. Both Sandy and May Fool were available as those interviews happened during the speaking program for the event. This was the Daily Pilot story, the Orange Coast Magazine. And that concludes my recap for the event. We are in the process of creating kind of a recap video and a thank you to send out to all the attendees. Director Green has also sent thank yous to all of our sponsors. And
I didn't get to thank them.
All right. Thank you for the update. That brings us to our last item, which is the Public Affairs Outreach Report.
Great. Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. So I wanted to highlight some of the awards. OCWD has taken the opportunity starting last year and this year to apply for a lot of awards for the groundwater replenishment system final expansion. So here's a listing of some that we have received in April. The AAES award was received April 13th. April 21st, it was the ASCE award, and I believe Chair Bilodeau attended that one. We do have a project or award tonight in Yorba Belinda, the Richard Nixon Library, and that's the ASCE OC Outstanding Water Treatment Project and Water Project of the Year. So I know a few directors will be attending as well as Mike. And then during the AQUA conference on Thursday, May 11th, AQUA will award the AQUA Excellence and Innovation Award. So we did apply for the final expansion and we are one of the top 5 finalists. So they will not, AQUA will not announce that until Thursday. And I believe President Green will be the one who will give out that award. So we will have Director Whitaker will be on site.
Ready to accept the award.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah. You don't think? Oh, I'll check. I know. Okay. We do continue to have a very robust speaker and tour program. So here are some of the recent tours that we have had here. Chair Bilodeau featured at the top there. Media and stakeholder outreach, we did have an increase due to the GWRS event and all of the press releases distributed, as well as the media that covered it. So we had a global reach of 488 million. And then I did want to mention, we did have coverage as well because the PBS, the Nova show aired on PBS April 12th. In addition to that show airing the next 2 weeks later, we actually hosted a virtual field trip
And NOVA asked us to host it. We had more than 2,000 attendees. They were middle and high school students from across the U.S. And so Mabel was featured as kind of the science expert. And it was an hour-long field trip and a virtual field trip. And there was kind of a 30-minute presentation and a 30-minute Q&A. So that was very well received. And we will be looking into hosting more virtual field trips in the future regarding UCWD projects and programs. Here's a showing of some of our top social media posts. So we do continue to increase engagement across the platforms as well as followers. And then wanted to note some of our upcoming events. In May, we have a PFAS webinar featuring our lab director, Prem, as well as Lucy Sand. June 14th marks UCWD's 90th anniversary. So there is not a board meeting that day, but the following week, we are planning to host a celebratory reception prior to the board meeting at 4:30 and invite the board as well as producers. And then we are going to have a staff celebration since not all staff were invited to the April 14th event. So we'll have a joint OCWD-OCSAN employee event to commemorate the final completion. And then we are, our groundwater adventure tour took a hiatus during COVID. So we took the opportunity to revamp it. So we will be offering that again, either September or October. We're working with the hotel to finalize a date. And then October 13th, we will host the OC Water Summit. And that will be at the Westin South Coast Plaza. Director Sheldon is, chairs that committee. So we're still working with the committee to develop the program. We have heard from Fritz Fullman that he will be back as a master of ceremonies. He wasn't able to attend last year. And then the planning committee will continue to meet monthly. So we will keep the committee apprised. That concludes my presentation. If there are any questions?
Any questions? Tom, that number on global outreach was really impressive, just under a half billion. So if it were dollars, it would nearly match what we're spending on PFAS. So a number like that gives.
All right, any other questions? Seeing none online. Oh, I see Kathy on my name here.
Oh, sorry.
That's good.
That's good. Okay. With that, I think all these matters we put on the consent calendar. Are there any directors' announcements or reports at this time? Seeing on any general manager's announcements?
Nothing to report.
Well, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Jim.